My name is Sean Abada. I'm the could be produced, and then when you come to present, we just proceed with the issue.
Good morning, Chairperson, honorable members. My name is Cornelius Reiter. I'm the Deputy Director General for Water, National Water Resources Infrastructure, Department of Water.
Good morning. I'm Manfred Nefumbata, Acting Deputy Director General for Water and Regulation.
Thank you very much. I think now we must not waste time, we must go straight to the program, to our agenda. So the first one is the briefing by the Department of Environmental Affairs on the selected program in their 2009-2010 annual report. Then, as I said, that all the selected programs and projects from the annual report 2009-2010, and then again environmental quality and protection and program 3, marine and coastal management. So we are going to take the form now. What's the time now?
Quarter past
10 to 20 past 11. To half past 11. And then by half past 11, we must finish it. Thank you very much. I'll hand over to you. Thank you. transformation is going to form in the fact of what we achieve during that financial and what were then the areas where we did not hide and shoot and what are the challenges that we are coming from. We also then started to reflect on what is the work that we do in the department of the province and the country. Because this is the work that we do in the department of the country. And then we began to end the expenditure. In the first slide, you see the grant structure that fine. You may recall at the time the deputy there was Ms. Joanne Yawich, who moved to a branch that is focused on climate change. And subsequently, the department then the appointment of Isham to take over the running of the department. The purpose of the branch on our members is undertake work that makes the strategic objective on protecting and improving the climate and safety of the environment. And there are key performance areas, the ones that relate to managing environmental impacts that are related to development and also to make sure that proactive instruments are put in place to minimize impact on the environment from any development in our country. And they will then really present on exactly what has been done in the sector. The other focus area or key performance area relates to compliance and enforcement. Again, with environmental intervention, we have what people might know as green culture. We established that component in the department in order for us to be able to have capacity to make sure that they comply with all of the streets of environmental legislation. We have air quality act, we have biodiversity act, we have environmental impact regulation, we have waste act, we have coastal management act. So all of those pieces of legislation must be implemented and somebody must then ensure that they can possibly in terms of implementation. So in that regard we have a component of focus in the program. And then we have a component that is focusing on air and atmospheric quality management. Again, we are in the presentation discussing what is it that we've done in key provinces and specific policies in steps to making sure that we have systems of monitoring air quality in order for us as a country to minimize impact to citizens from either industrial air pollution or also domestic air pollution. And then lastly, we have a focus and program which is related to pollution in waste. This is an area that also interfaces more with local government in terms of managing waste and pollution of land in general in terms of environmental waste sector, which is as a result of other hospitals which are managing hazardous waste, cleaning from blood transfusion and so on. That literally is not a good space in a general environment. It has to be handled in terms of the form part of the hazardous waste. So basically then we are giving the focus in terms of what was then committed in the last financial year. So Isham can talk to the achievements.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you
very
much, members. We are giving you 35 slides here, but I'm going to try and summarize them in accordance with your instructions. So I'm just going to try and pick out the highlights from the slides for you and highlight the sort of challenges in terms of what was not achieved and some of the reasons why it wasn't achieved. Chair, I'm going to skip the next slide in the sense of just the time structure and go on to slide number 5, which is unmarked there. But basically the important thing there in terms of our policy and legislative framework for environmental impact management, we had Act 62 of 2000.
I mentioned the EIA's backlogs, for the most part, they were eradicated. And in terms of the going forward or the plans in relation to EIA and the time frame that we established, about 70% of those were actually done within the legislative time frame. So I think that's quite important as well. I've mentioned also, Chair, the development of the environmental management framework, basically to add spatial planning and also to inform development decisions. We did one Northern Cape, Malanga, and we also have several draft units for other provinces. Chair, around waste management, I think importantly there, the achievement-wise, the domestic waste collection project in Mafeking, we've outlined 30,047 households are providing the domestic waste services in October 2009. Some of the challenges that I'll deal with towards the end of the year. And then around regulatory services, I've mentioned some of them in relation to training. Besides the interventions we've had for specific prosecutors and magistrates, we've also had several workshops in the provinces where you train the officials and magistrates. We've also done what they call a bench trip, which is basically a training aid for the magistrates when they deal with environmental crimes. So I think that, in essence, to highlight some of the achievements. I think in terms of the challenges, there were some challenges as well. We were busy developing a fee structure for the EIA assessment, and that was completed during the year, but the implementation was delayed because of the strategic decision to await the promulgation of the regulations and the public consultation process to make it do that. Another challenge for us was that only the two of the proposed three CANAC reports, the South African National and AFI program reports, some of our voices weren't signed as well as they should have been. So only two of those reports were compiled. In terms of our reactive inspection, we did about 25% of the new environmental quality implications complaints in order to be directed, as opposed to the 90% that we had as a target, which was essentially due to the capacity challenges and also clearing backlog from the previous year, which we subsequently in the process of addressing. Chair, another challenge for us was the working relation to investors, and also the opportunity undertaking the capacity issue, and also changes in the legislation in India. And we started that for the group to be able to do the Chair, and then the final slide, the final slide actually, basically in relation to our expenditure.
Okay, I'm on the essential trend and then the standardized and the environment system in each condition. So in terms of the slides, the slides are not numbered after the development program expenditure trend, but in terms of our allocation in 2009-10, we have a table there that reflects expenditure per key performance area. Our appropriation column is exactly what we received, and then the column then that reflects actual expenditure, and then the percentage expenditure, and then an explanation on variance with the system. In respect to the key performance area that relates to impact management functions, we have received 27 million and the expenditure of 100%. And on legal compliance or the lack of compliance, We also spent the 15 million as allocated to 2.1 to 1 to the area of air quality and artificial air quality improvement. Also, we spent the 31.4 million as allocated. So, in terms of that area, those areas reflected there, we spent 100% of the budget in 2.1 to 1. And we then show the spending. Economic classification, which is what went to salaries and what went to goods and services. And in the main, in terms of our expenditure, 57 million of that, that's 105 million, 57.1 was payment on salaries for the staff involved with the work in those people. Then on goods and services, we spent 2.68 million. And then we had financial transactions on assets and liabilities, which was about 17,000. And we made a transfer to 1,000,008. So in total, with capital, we then expended that 1,500,000. And the next slide, honourable members, just reflects what the allocations that we had in terms of 2011-12 up to 2013-14. That will be into the future. So that is what we have allocated, and that still has to be spent in the new financial year. Then the slide that has a heading audited outcome. Between the period 2007-08 up to 2009-18, we reflect there that the financial statements were audited and those figures are still the same as what we had earlier on. We had in 2009-10, 529 confirmed to the what we spent in those areas on alone. Then next members, in terms of the marine and coastal management, marine resources annual report, which is the blue report, we present quickly there that we had objectives that we had to achieve. And we also highlight the key legislation that was applicable in terms of the function and the fact that the function was then transferred to DAP. We were still responsible for the function in terms of the defense of March 2010. The objectives of the marine resources fund were to promote conservation and sustainable use of marine and coastal resources. In the next table, we will have the slide.
Which one?
I will finish quickly with the chair. The aim of that program was to for us to manage the development and sustainable use and orderly exploitation of marine and coastal resources. We were also, because we had the Department of Environmental Affairs responsible for the protection and the integrity of that part of that marine environment and coastal system. The key pieces of legislation that are implemented: National Environmental Management Act, Integrated Coastal Management of 2008. That's what we call ICM Act of 2008, which is more than legislation that helps us to establish an integrated system of coastal and estuary management. As you know, the estuaries, they come, they link to the river system for land and meet them with the seawater. The ocean environment, and that area was not
Air quality management and climate change is the one top there. Thank you very much for the presentation. My first question would be with regard to the EIA officials that you've trained. If I've captured well, you said you've trained 286. Is this at provincial level or national? And what would be the relationship with local government? And if you could please also give us the progress with regard to the environmental court. I think you've also mentioned that you've trained 221 officials. If you can give us the status in this regard. You also mentioned local government as part of your strategic partner, but you don't specify which municipalities. You know, it would be more interesting if you could specify which municipalities so that as we go around and do oversized visits, we are able to say, you know, the department has done this for this municipality. So it's just a local government, you don't specify. You can also be specific in which municipality. I would also want to reiterate on what Honorable Gunda said with regard to the more than 50% of compensation of employees. It's a lot. I think the law that governs public administration does not allow that. We need to deal with that so that in the next financial year we should not have that. I don't know if you'll be able to maybe give us a turnaround strategy as to how are you going to rectify that. And lastly, if you can tell us which provinces are still to implement the national waste management strategy, and are there local authorities that are also part of that? And also indicate, maybe just indicate the role of local government with regard to that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. we have been in the process. That so from the time that we manage the process in the department, we can do that, but in terms of how long the thing takes there, we don't yet have the average because it depends on the
and
for policy and regulations, and then Ms. Debbie Henning, who is the Chief Director for Performance Monitoring Division and Business Performance in the Department. So we will be presenting here this morning. We have given you a presentation, ma'am, it's been there. Your letter to us was to present in terms of the spending trends, challenges, and achievements in terms of selected programs. It was selected programs to program 2 and 3 on the annual report, so we will restrict our presentation to that particular program within the presentation. But if there are other questions from the members in terms of some of the other programs, then we will our best attempt to answer those questions. But we have stick to the letter of your presentation. Yeah. And basically not a long day presentation. I will be see that I will cover this in 20 to 25 minutes.
Okay. Thank you very much. But I think we're going to do the same, like,
yeah,
we'll ask the question, but we want it from the team also, because we want to have incident responses in our record.
Okay, we will do that. Certainly, we've taken note of your comments, so we will on the same basis.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. I just want to say, in terms of the outline of the presentation, we have about 7 branches in the department. That is corporate services, the chief operating officer, NWRI, or the National Resort Water Source Infrastructure. We have regions, we have international relations and cooperation, we have policy and regulation, and then we have the finance branch. So we have not put that detail, but I just want to give you an overview perspective. You know. But the program that we have is not aligned to the branch of the structures. So, for instance, I would say that program 2, both we have the policy and regulation and the National Water Source Infrastructure, that in terms of what you requested us, and then program 3 is the water services, and that is in terms of the regions. Unfortunately, the regions are not here this morning. They are in the standing committee on appropriations. There's a double booking for us this morning. So the other DDG is within the standing committee of appropriations. So apologies for her, because so you're taking that in terms of the acting DG also. So the outline is that we'll give you the program 2, the strategic goals under each program, and for program 2, there are 3 strategic goals: strategic goal 1, 3, and 4. And then under program 3 is the water services. There we have strategic goal 2. And then we will give you an overview of the expenditure trends for this particular program. Now, program 2, the water resources management, strategic goal 1 is to the ensuring of sustainable and equitable water resources management. The output, we will talk about the output, the performance indicators, the baseline, and the actual performance targets that what we have achieved in terms of the annual report 2010-2011. And we were before the Standing Committee on Public Accounts last week also to account for our past performance. In terms of the branch policy and regulation, we have planned 4 water four river systems to reconcile the water requirements, and that is the number of strategies for priority in terms of those areas and what we have completed. And we have basically the baseline that we have done is for smaller towns, the 5 planning areas that we have initiated. We have completed 3 of those particular strategies, and those the major ones that we have completed was in the Crocodile of the West, the KwaZulu-Natal coastal areas, and the Vaal system that we have completed. Those are the important water management areas in South Africa in terms of the GDP for this particular country. And we've been successful in terms of that. Also, we have completed the reconciliation in terms of overall for South Africa in terms of the major water requirements. And then also we have completed completing the all-town studies, where we're looking in terms of what is the water resources that are available, the demand that is there, and then lastly in terms of the supply. Just what I want to say with this kind of studies, honourable members and chairperson, honourable members, is that we do face a major aspect in South Africa in terms of the water availability in the country. It is a strategic resource. If there are two issues that can hamper South Africa's development into the future, then it's water availability and energy, because the two are interdependent and interlinked. For energy, you have to have water in terms of its generation. And then in terms of the second output, we've got monitoring stations all over South Africa. We have the output in terms of make sure that our 1,300 stations are operational and that they are monitoring in terms of the flows. If I can give you an example, is that these monitoring stations, we normally deal with that in terms of, for instance, for floods that were early this year, in terms of giving us the kind of early warning in terms of the operation of our dams, our major dams, and also during droughts, in terms of when we have to institute restrictions in terms of the water uses. We've got the baseline, we're saying that we've got 900 stations that are working conditions. We have monitored and maintained all these existing stations, and obviously we are maintaining them in terms of our mandate. Water conservation and demand management, one of the major initiatives that we do have, particularly with the metros, looking sure that how we can stretch our water use in South Africa, and we are fully, none of the metros and the river systems are fully implementing the water conservation and water demand management systems, what we have put before them, but yet we have saved about 40 million cubic meters per annum in the water management areas. We can save more if we have implemented fully the water conservation and demand management. Particularly, we have assisted the metros in Gauteng, the Western Cape, Eastern Cape Town, Nelson Mandela Bay, and then at the Queenie. Those are the main ones that we are focusing on and make sure that they are, and we have assisted them in terms of financially and technically with regard to water conservation and demand management. Yet we do have the successes in terms of the 40 million cubic meters, but we can go far beyond that. The next, in terms of our strategic objective, in terms of improved water resources quality, that we do have, in terms of the forecasting and balancing of our water demand and supply, I've indicated in terms of that, in terms of our strategic priority, but now we have to look in terms of how do we improve in terms of our water resource quality. The river health program is implemented in all the regions, but we are particularly focused on the crocodile, and then the olifants, and the vaal and Umzinduzi. We regulate the use per the license conditions in this polluted river systems, and we have targeted these particular systems because of the nature of the work that they have, or the high impact that they have in terms of South Africa's economy. And we have identified the critical sources of pollution, and extent of the waste discharge to the very management areas. And we have implemented the river health program in the crocodile and the vaal in particular. Here we have to improve the health conditions of this particular river systems due to the fact that we do have the impact from acid mine drainage, basically in the vaal system, and in the crocodile we do have industrial and also from agriculture pollution. So these are important in terms of the river health program. Then, in terms of our strategic goal one under program two, the key challenges that we do face is a shortage of dedicated technical personnel, and also in terms of climate change, we have now implemented a directorate that deals with the issues of climate change, because climate change is going to impact much more severely on the water resources of South Africa. And then also the ability to successfully address all identified compliance cases due to the shortage of suitable personnel, although we do have established a dedicated unit within the department that focus on compliance monitoring and enforcement. The unit is up and running. My colleague Magiseni and Lefumbada can give more details in terms of that, but obviously not all the dedicated technical personnel that deal with the issues of compliance monitoring enforcement are yet in place. They are a major challenge in the department is the inability to finalize water use licenses, particularly the backlogs, and then also deal with the capacity constraints. And we have now established a dedicated team that deals with the backlogs in terms of the water users applications and the eradication thereof during the next financial year. And then what we are currently doing is that we're finalizing the National Water Resources Strategy that is required by law, that it was last published in 2004, and we were supposed to revise it already and finalize it in 2009. And we are in the process of finalizing and completing that. There's still the consultation process that we have to go on with the major water users in South Africa. In terms of strategic goal 3 under program 2, program 2 is the water resource management. I just want to remind members, and strategic goal 3 is both operate and maintain our infrastructure. We are in the process of implementing new bulk infrastructure to meet our social water needs, for economic growth and development. And here we're looking at the completion of this particular project as per our project specifications. We're building currently the Inyaka treatment work in Mpumalanga province. That is 58% completed now. We're starting with the work on the Great Letaba Regional Water Resources Project in Limpopo. We have completed 4% of the work that we've done, and that is to supply water to the greater Zanin within the Zanin municipality, and also within the Mopani district municipality in terms of the water supply. And that constitute two projects. It's the building of the Wamitwa Dam on the Letaba, and also the raising of the Zanin Dam. And this is, we have done the work in terms of the planning that we have done in terms of the work to be put. We are planning to start with this project more or less towards the end of next year, and the work is in progress. But members must understand that most of these, an overriding comment on all of these projects, in terms of the infrastructure, these projects are mostly multi-year projects, and they are, in terms of the annual report, if you look in terms of the allocation budget, particular on page 21 of the annual report, there's a breakdown for you in terms of the values that the budget that we're talking about. And these projects are running 3 to 5 years in terms of the major dam projects. The Inyaka project, we are busy with the Inyaka project since 2004 already, and it consists of about 5 components that we've done. That included the dam. That includes component 1, the treatment works, component 2 was another treatment works, component 4 and 5, these are the distribution networks that we are putting in to supply people in the greater Bushbuckridge area. The maintenance of our water resources infrastructure to meet, in terms of outputs, to meet water supply demand, we're looking at the maintenance of our infrastructure. We must assure that we have the availability of the water for all the strategic water users in South Africa. Particularly here, we're talking about the water services authorities, the municipalities. We're talking about the ESCOMs. We're talking about the FASOLs in terms of the liquid fuels, in terms of FASOL. We're talking about electricity generation. And then we're talking about the mines and also the industries in terms of the water, the availability that we must assure in terms of the water services agreement. the water supply agreement that we do have with them, that there is some availability of the water in terms of our agreement, and obviously in the way that we then that they pay for the water water use. Then we're looking at the resource management plan. That means is that how do we also make sure that the surroundings of our of our infrastructure, the surroundings of our dams are being utilized for the benefit of recreation and even to an extent of sport, because most of the water sports events and recreation facilities do take place on our infrastructure and the water storage facilities. And now we are in the process of implementing resource management plans that we make sure that there's proper zoning of this infrastructure, there is proper utilization, and there's a proper revenue from this particular a collection from this infrastructure. And we have completed already two of these particular projects, and we are transforming all the what we call the sustainable utilization plans that we previously had in terms of these particular infrastructure into the resource management plans. And how the public should use this infrastructure to the benefit, a greater benefit for South Africa. So those are the ones that we've completed. Furthermore, we also, in terms of the output, the percentage in terms of our strategic objectives, the percentage maintenance of infrastructure as per our maintenance plans, we do have a budget that deals with the operations and maintenance of our infrastructure to make sure that they are properly functioning, and we're looking at a number of projects, and we have completed, we've implemented four projects under that are under construction, and that we've monitored those particular projects, and to date we have implemented six regional bulk projects, particularly in Eastern Cape, and one of them, the major one, is the Hamtuis system in KZN. We have completed two, and in Mpumalanga we have completed two of these regional bulk projects. Then, Chairperson, on the members, we must also make sure that our schemes are fully functional. We must make sure that that the infrastructure do meet their design standards, and that we make sure that the number of dams, the money that's been allocated to us, that we spend the budget. And particularly here I refer to the dam safety program that we do have. We have a number of dams, we've completed 25 dams in terms of this dam safety program, and to date we have, in terms of the budget that's been allocated by Treasury, in terms of the MTF, we have spent 80% of that budget, and then we go into the new cycle of the MTF, at the outer end, and that is 2013-2014, but we have spent in the vicinity of about 400 million last year in terms of the dam safety program, and we make sure, and we have achieved that all the 70% of our infrastructure is up to the scheme level that they must perform. Then we go to the provision of regional bulk water in terms of our strategic objectives, and this is where we provide water to the water via the water service authorities to the water providers, water service providers to the water service authorities, and that is municipal level to make sure that there is the primary use of water for domestic consumption. We must make sure that our schemes are fully functional, and we have transferred 63% of our schemes that have been refurbished already to local government in making sure that we that they are operating them, and also the supply of water to communities. These schemes have been refurbished from a perspective where what we refer to as the sustainability, because we cannot have schemes and they are not fully functional make sure that and they cannot provide water to the community. So we identified those schemes that must be refurbished and then for the transfer to local government to make sure that they execute their constitutional mandate. Also, we have further initiated 49 more regional bulk schemes initiated, with the major of the regional bulk schemes that we've initiated in the high priority provinces, that is Limpopo, KZN, and the Eastern Cape. And already there's a budget on the MTF or in the vicinity of about 6 billion that we're going to spend in terms of this particular regional bulk infrastructure. Now, the key challenges in terms of strategic goal 3 is the training of staff on dam safety issues. This is one of the major aspects that South Africa do not have enough civil engineers, and also in terms of getting the kind of staff that we need to. Most of the work that we do have that we execute is basically where we outcontract in terms of the dam safety and making sure that the dams are in a safe condition to be operated. And but we do have, through our learning academy and through our training program, where we do have technicians that we do train in terms of operating roles, the maintenance, and the emergency preparedness of this particular infrastructure. Then the other aspect is the shortage of dedicated technical personnel in terms of climate change, water plant superintendents, artisans, technicians, and engineers. We have implemented the occupational specific dispensation and the graduate program, but there's still a major shortage in terms of the kind of technical people that we need to run this particular infrastructure. The drought situation in the Eastern Cape, in particular in the Agol system, was one of the issues that has hampered our authorized the situation to make sure that we have adequate water supply to all the mostly to the people within the Nelson Mandela metropolitan, metropolitan, but also most of the other district municipalities in the region. And members must be aware that most of these district municipalities were declared disaster areas by the Minister of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs and the Minister of Water Affairs. And we need what we've learned out of this is that the situation needs to be managed in timely interventions, not only here but in major other parts of South Africa. And also the situation in Beaufort West have also we've learned out of that in terms of the supply. And then the other challenge, what I've already referred to earlier on, the issue of asset maintenance and other impacts that have a severe impact on our water quality. And that by itself, although we want to provide water for usage, but the consequences of providing water for growth and development is the negative impact is on the water quality. And those particular aspects we have to manage. And we have implemented the program the Cabinet have approved now, the strategic plan to deal with AMD. That is asset maintenance, but also in terms of the better manage the water quality in South Africa. Also, we're looking at the introduction of the waste discharge system, that whereby what we basically a simplistic form is the polluter pays principle. Then the last one is the under the strategic goal 3 is that we're looking at the conversion of dams to make to give communities much more access to directly from them, and we have finalized now this particular strategy, and we through the regional bulk scheme make sure that the schemes are being implemented for community supply, community water supply. The next chairperson in terms of program 2, the water resource management is strategic goal 4, aligned and effective institutions. We do have in terms of the institutions, we must make sure that all institutions report to the minister, and that we have done in terms of our compliance manual for all the major institutions. There's about 21 of them that reports to the Minister of Water Affairs, that is the major water board, different management agencies and authorities that reports to the Minister. Then the next one is the implementation of the institutional realignment project. We are busy with the project to finalizing the establishment of water users associations and also to transform the irrigation boards into water users associations. You can see that from our baseline, we've already got two functioning catchment management agencies and then 14 water boards and then a number of water users associations. The next aspect in terms of strategic goal 3 is our key challenges. The finalization of the institutional realignment project, this is basically part of the futuristic look in terms of how institutions should be constituted and how they should function in South Africa. And the project is now adequately funded, and obviously we will carry out this whole project within the current financial year in terms of the realignment of all the institutions. But also linked to this is what the minister required of us, is a total business process re-engineering for the department in terms of how the department should look, so that there is a congruency or alignment between the institutions and the functionality of the department. Program 3 is the water services. We're looking at strategic goal 2 in terms of the annual report. It's ensuring universal access to safe and affordable water services. It's that the effective support to municipalities. In terms of the constitution and the way that we do operate in South Africa, is that the water services authorities are responsible for the supply of water to consumers in South Africa. And we have implemented 5 provincial plans for the Eastern Cape, Mpumalanga, Northern Cape, Gauteng, and Northwest provinces. These plans are making sure master plans in terms of how we manage our water and the supply thereof at the provincial level. In terms of feasibility studies for the supply for municipalities, we have completed 11 feasibility studies for water supply in terms of the RVIC program, and we have completed 168 water services development plans that we have supported those particular municipalities that need these water services development plans, obviously to look at their future water demand and supply. And then financing model to ensure accelerated infrastructure development. And this we have developed and implemented as part of the equitable share policy under the Department of Cooperative Governance and Traditional Affairs. Because at the moment there's a reworking, a relook at the equitable share in terms of how allocation of money should be going through to municipalities, and because at the moment that is not adequately funded in terms of the water supply at local government level. Our technical the challenges in terms of strategic goal 2 is the technical capacity, particularly at municipal level, honourable members. And we can see that in some municipalities there are no technical staff that can operate and obviously could operate, maintain, design and the management of infrastructure. And there has been a lot of work been done on this in terms of how we should improve the capacity. And we are directly helping them now with the technical assistance. And obviously what is important here is that how many municipalities have adhered to the Blue Drop and Green Drop certification programs. Blue Drop is that it's in terms of the safe drinking standards, safe drinking water standards, in terms of the water treatment that we certify all municipalities. The figures in terms of the outcome is within the report, and we can say that we're making progress with regard to the blue top status in terms of those municipalities that need to be assisted. But our challenge is still with regard to the green top certification. There's a lot of municipalities, we've only assessed 50% of them, and only 23% of the wastewater treatment work comply to the green top standards, what we do have. And it's one of the major concerns for the Minister of Water and Environmental Affairs. And that is what we are trying to address. And obviously, out of this work that we've done from the blue top and green top, there's a dilapidating, because we found dilapidating wastewater treatment plant infrastructure, and we have to now mobilizing funding for the infrastructure refurbishment, operation, and maintenance. To an extent, we do have succeeds, but obviously the money that we get from National Treasury is not sufficient for us to address all the challenges. Lastly, if I can just give a brief overview of the spending trends for 2009-2010 financial year. In general, we have spent, in terms of the annual report, we have spent about 89% of the budget for both programs. In terms of program two, we basically spend more or less 100% of the budget. The under expenditure was within program three, where I overall the percentage under expenditure was within the following. We have in the current payment, that is means for the infrastructure that we pay and for leases. There we have only paid, to an extent of late invoicing, only 86%. Transfers and subsidies, we have paid 99%. And then the payment of capital for capital assets, we paid 97.4%. So those are the overall expenditure that we do have in terms of the two programs. I must indicate to you, Chairperson, in terms of the annual report that we, before the Standing Committee for Public Accounts last week, the department did receive the qualified audit in terms of the areas, both in the main account and in the water trading account, that the department has received the qualified audit. And basically in the qualifications that we have received from the audit general, was the basis for the qualification was the immovable assets that we have rectified. Movable assets, then goods and services we have received in terms of the misplacement of tangible capital assets. Those are the three main findings. And then in terms of the water trading account that we have received, it was the same. The basis for qualification was with regard to the suspense account, the water-related services revenue, and then the unrecorded liabilities and account receivable. Those were the qualifications that we received from the audit general. On that note, honourable members, Chairperson, I am trying to, in terms of your request, in terms of the presentation, if there are questions, we are more than welcome my colleagues to answer on those questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much for your presentation. I think I will hand over to the honourable members to ask them. Honourable West. Your honourable member, sorry.
Which is called a man and order of Africa.
following point. I will listen and then you. I have no problem with my people qualified as a person. But if you say that you include your status, 50% of the income, and the 33% comply with the, for a layman to hear that type of knowing that they are doing a very good thing, but for a layperson, definitely is provoking. You also mentioned that now the issue of water and the consultation with the local government, that would do with the panel and the people share. How will you be sure that now during the division of revenue, they are going to give that type of money? You know, that is the problem. Of the 168 place issues, the development place, it's again numbered. I'm not relating to here that of this 168 place, always here as a strategy place, but not actual thing which you can distinguish from that. No, this thing would now have been. We would like you to get water. Now, we have talked about the Mamita Dam, the Tawa Dam, and then Tamini Dam, and concentrating on the places where you are having your Ebenezer Dam nearby there, but considering the I can know the old urban places, you know. You don't concentrate more. That goes like you from, if you live in Wamintwa there, you go to I'm giving you the practical, to Chief Jumeri. Mahunda is here, and then you also. From that place going down there, it's only Hassan Dam is next to Mleshi. Only that dam and a very little water. You can't talk about it and
okay, yes, I know.
You only have that one. They are busy improving it, but that's more than. Then you go to the whole place, but you are planning on the concentration of the of former urban areas there. Which are very little community. You talk about the lack of civil engineers. How many from the previous 12 people who passed, where you can say that we have started our project, we have sent these people for this engineering, and this particular year to be finishing, which we don't have that type of information. And also, you should have given us the program that now we are going to visit such and such a place where we've identified the universities or technical schools that we are going to have so many people who will qualify next year in order to close it. Mm-hmm. You know, if you don't have that type of program, we can take this in the field. Okay. The issue of 4% in one of the dams, this is really, what is that? Is this a, yeah, close to the tower, 4%. 4%, if I take this, the picking up of the tank and the identifying of the place where these waters are going to work from, that is 4% job. But if we talk about the actual job to be done, 4%, I don't know. Can you explain why you are saying this is for previous to me? Chairperson, DG is acting, that gentleman is acting, another is acting. You are the only thing that I've mentioned. These people, when are you going to talk?
issues that are related to human resources and other related issues. Those are questions that can be directed to the minister, you know. Yeah, and I also want to piggyback on what Honorable with relation to the heavy rainfall that we had in the previous month. I want to know what is it that has been done, you know, to make sure that we actually capture the water and try and recycle, you know, given the fact that water is a scarce resource, like you said in your presentation. I think we've been blessed, you know, with those heavy rainfalls, but everywhere you drive, it's just water all over. It's something that maybe we did not envisage. It came as a surprise, but I know in terms of weather changes and all the heavy rainfalls, there's always a warning sign to say that we'll be having this type of weather. Or so I want to know what is it that the department has done in terms of capturing the water or reusing the water. And then I also want to know in relation to the ethnic mine drainage. It's a big challenge, it's all over the news. I didn't hear you mentioning it. I thought you mentioned it with Gauteng in particular. But you mentioned, what is this river? Yeah, I think in Gauteng you did mention that, but I thought you would then go deeper and mention about the burning issue, which is the ethnic mine drainage. I want to know the impact on the river health program. What impact does it have on the river health program, and how is this issue going to be managed in the medium term and the long term? Thanks, Jeff.
Sometimes, and she has passed. If we can just
give us and then some questions that we can respond, and then, but we need also inviting just to have
Ma'am Chairperson, I will answer some of the questions but the more detail my colleague Bangi will answer. I will say that in terms of even Masato's your questions on Honorable Chairperson, in terms of water conservation and demand management performing well, obviously in terms of the much more detail in information, we will have to provide you with that, but we are. But where we've been successful is in Etchebeni. We've been successful in Cape Town, the Cape Town area, and to an extent we are in Gauteng in terms of the metros, in particular in terms of water. So those are the successes. Also in terms of water conservation and demand management, in terms of the Nelson Mandela Bay Metropolitan, because of the drought situation within the Algoa system. Mm-hmm. And we have assisted them to, for all the major metros, we have assisted them with the vicinity of 100 million rand. We've assisted them for the water conservation demand management on top of their budgets that they do have. So those are the main ones. Where we do have a challenge, Chairperson, in terms of water conservation and demand management, is really within, we can call it smaller municipalities. Municipalities not in a position like the metros, where in some of these municipalities we've got as high losses as 60%. We will provide you with those particular details. We have done substantial work with regard to the water conservation and demand management. But our focus is now to be is going to be focused on those municipalities that need assistance and are not in a financially very good position where we are. But there are benefits for investing in water conservation and demand management, because it's low-hanging fruit and you don't need to build extra infrastructure. By virtue of implementing water conservation and demand management, then you can stretch your water supply. The other big projects that have been implemented, obviously we'll give you the detail, but some of these projects have been completed in Limpopo. We have completed some of these projects in KZN, and if I'm not mistaken, one of them were also completed in Northwest. And these are the names and the details of this. We will have to provide you with it. But it's also to an extent we've only captured that within the annual report. But those were the provinces that we have done. The areas for the RBIC, as I've indicated, the majority of the investment is in the following priorities. The highest investment in terms of the regional bulk infrastructure goes into KwaZulu-Natal. We've had recently an interaction with the Premier of KZN. We are spending in the KZN $2.1 billion, and there's about 20 infrastructure projects in terms of regional bulk that we supply within KZN. Then the next highest that in terms of investment then goes to Limpopo. There's 19%, and there's also detailed investment or detailed projects that we then in terms of the MTEF that we give to Limpopo. That is also in the vicinity of about close to, it's about 1.9 billion, more or less. And then the next is KZN, Eastern Cape is plus minus 18%. Those are the high, and then it goes down in terms of the high priorities to the lowest is the Northern Cape and Western Cape. So those are the priorities. But we will provide you with the detail. Mm. This one should capture you the high priority provinces that we And those are the provinces also been identified by the President in the State of the Nation address that we are targeting. We have been to those provinces. We have two visits to Limpopo already. We have the visits to KZN and the interaction with the premiers and how we're implementing. We gave them the breakdown of all the projects and then which municipality, you know, and the majority, for instance, of KZN, if I may say, it's the minister going there tomorrow, is in northern KZN. In Kanyakuti, that we end in Lembe, the minister's going to visit tomorrow, and then also to Zululand. Also. Those are, but they are breakdown in terms of which municipality and the amount that we broke down. These are in addition to the water resources infrastructure projects that we're implementing, the dams, etc. We're going to build one new dam for Etiquini, Spring Grove Dam, to an amount of 1.7 billion. We have signed the agreement on Saturday. Soon the site establishment is taking place. We will be moving, we will do the surface off turning to the premium KZN, and we will start with the construction of that dam in June this year. Then we're going to raise the Hazelmere Dam. That is in the vicinity of about 600 million that we do the Hazelmere Dam. Then in the future, there are, you know, in terms of the long term, to water security, even for Gauteng, out of the Tugela system, we're looking at two more dams. The one is at Yana and the other one in Militang. But those are the long term that we're looking at beyond 2040 scenario. So those are the information we will give you that specifics. I will ask my colleague Mbangi to talk about the water resources, national water resources strategy, the river health program, and also to an extent about the rainfall. But what I want to say in terms of the rainfall, that it is not possible for all of you know, in South Africa we have about our runoff is about 50 cubic, if you can call it cubic meters, or you can say 50 billion cubic meters of runoff. And we're only storing in South Africa about plus minus 30 billion cubic meters of this store. It's not possible for us to store each and every drop of water in South Africa. Remember, the National Water Act also provides what we call the ecological reserve. The ecological reserve is for the flow of the river, and it's not going to be possible in terms of the design. Any infrastructure design around the globe is not designed to capture all the water. Even in Brazil, we have the highest rainfall of all the countries. It's not possible. We only design our infrastructure to an extent where we can have maximum storage within that particular catchment. And then the rest, we go through the infrastructure. Because the infrastructure, then you have to build much more bigger infrastructure, and the kind of sites that we do have cannot support this kind of infrastructure.
Your last part.
Yeah.
Are you in future planning to do that?
No,
because it is not impossible. It's doable.
Mm-hmm.
But then what you're saying. Is that you need to expand in terms of your infrastructure? Are you planning in terms of doing that?
Can I explain in terms of that? If you're looking at the flood that occurred was on the bowel system, on the bowel system, and that includes the bowel and the orange. There are about six major dams, and we have no immediate plans to build on them because. The only dam that we're gonna build is the one at Fuyolstuff. Fuyolstuff is down at the border between South Africa and Namibia, in the northern Cape.
Okay.
It is not physically possible, as I said, from a river ecosystem perspective, to expand at the moment or to store each and every drop of water because it is an integrated system. We also have to provide water for all the systems if we need it. 60% of our water resources are shared with our neighbors.
Mm.
So you can only develop to an extent in terms of the SADC protocol and shared water courses. That you can only you have to get permission from your neighbors in terms of how you have to from our neighbors in terms of how we have to build in terms of the kind of infrastructure. So for instance of the vowel system, we have already maximized our storage capacity. As I said, we cannot in terms of the system build more dams on the system, and we have to supply make sure that there's water supply downstream to Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
Also the Orange River in terms of the Alexander Bay, in terms of the Orange Mouth in the Alexander Bay, it's a ramfer site also. So you have to provide water downstream. So you cannot, otherwise then you have to have a situation where all the whole river system would be dry.
Mm-hmm.
and you cannot have that. The second point that I want to
yes,
to
follow up in some of
yeah. Can
no.
I just can I just finalize with you, Shepherd,
okay,
the
yes,
last point?
Yes.
The other point also on the, if you look at on the Orange system, we also generate hydroelectricity, particularly on the Harib there and on the Farakur there. So obviously you have to, that is by flow of water. So if you store you store all the water upstream, then obviously you don't have the through flow into the hydropower generation. So that is what I want to understand that, honourable member would understand that there's a maximum that you can store within any of the system, and you can't store each and every drop.
No, Chair, I wanted to also maybe share the little knowledge that we have learned in India during our study tour.
Mm-hmm.
Is that, I don't know how possible is that, you know, and it was too technical for me as well, but the little that I struck is that they are able to store I think it's water from the rain, right? and store it through what is this?
Borehole.
Yeah,
water
bank. Yeah. So the groundwater supplement.
So
do we have that type of system?